Hi.
Hello and welcome back to the Humanity Podcast.
Yay!
I am your host, Michael McPherson, and I am here with my one and only beloved Mackenzie Marsloff.
It's been a long time. Hi. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been about a year actually. I looked earlier today, a little over a year since the last time we recorded an episode together.
Nice.
How does it feel to be back?
It feels good. I feel like we're like radio broadcast hosts, because then you had like your tea. It looks like you're drinking coffee and
yeah. So if you hear me slurping, I'm drinking a warm cup of tea. So just don't mind that.
So yeah, I'm excited. Do you want to give them a little update?
I was just going to ask you the same thing.
Well, we're in Maui. It's a little rainy today, and I would say our biggest update right now is we're moving to Kauai.
Come on. I wish I could press a button here, like a cheer, like, ah.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
Because it feels like a celebration.
Yeah.
And we were definitely calling in a new home. We were ready to move. And there's a really magical story behind how we manifested this. I don't think we'll tell it right now.
Okay.
I actually think we'll do an episode specifically on manifesting.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
And how we manifested it in this way.
Yeah.
Because it's
that's
super
good.
Empowering, and I want to be able to tell the story in full.
In full, for sure.
Yeah. So that's the biggest life update. Anything else you want to update them on?
So we're moving to Kauai in September. We're going to go to Bend, Oregon next week to explore a new place.
Yeah. Why are we going to Bend?
We're going to Bend to feel into if it can be the headquarters of our next venture, which is called Request Bar. We'll do another episode on that.
Yeah, that's going to be like 5 episodes probably.
Yeah.
It's a big download right there.
So we're moving some things forward. What I've just been really hearing during this time is, despite the density and the duality that's coming to the surface, as we all knew it would, to still be really strong in our light. And that's honestly why we're here today on this podcast, so that we can bring forward our medicine, our song, our light, our service, through these times. And I'm especially excited for your medicine. Mm. So I'm ready to get started if you are.
Absolutely. What are we going to be talking about today?
Well, really what we're talking about today is how there are powers that take our energy, or desire to take our energy. And I can't do justice to speaking about this. That's why Michael is here to speak about it. But he has spoken a few times on siphoning our sex energy and energies trying to siphon our energy. So actually, I'm just going to divert to you. We don't even need to give an introduction to this topic. It's so important. It's so big. And first, can you let everyone know, what do you mean when you say siphoning our sex energy?
Sure. Well, if you've ever seen the movie The Matrix, and
I haven't.
Well, and when he first wakes up, he takes the red pill, he goes through the shoot and wakes up, and he's got all these cords attached to him.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like all over his body, right? And as soon as he wakes up, they all snap off. But you could look at siphoning like that. There is a cord, a hose, if you will, that's directly connected to you from these beings, and I describe them as dark beings. I don't say that for people to be afraid of them necessarily.
Sure.
I label that as a dark beings because they're in the fear-based paradigm. And so what they do is they connect this hose. You could also think of it like a hose, you know, like people used to siphon gasoline out of somebody's gas tank.
Yeah.
You know, you drop the hose in, and then on the other side, you put your mouth on the hose and you suck it out. And then once it starts pumping, you dump it into a container, and then there you go. You just stole somebody's gasoline. Wow. That's basically what's happening to our sex energy with these particular beings.
Mm. Okay. So when you say beings, you're referring to darker energies. Mm-hmm. And is it just, I mean, are humans involved at all in taking that energy? Like, can you expand more on the practical application of, like, what does it look like? How does it show up? And, you know, who is in charge of this?
Sure.
And then obviously later we'll get to how you can take your power back. But
well, the real answer is I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't have all the answers. I only have what I was shown. And I was shown this particular scenario or this particular reality in a mushroom ceremony. Mm-hmm. And during that ceremony, they showed me that every time we plug into pornography, this happens.
Okay.
So we go into what's known and well known now, well researched as a pornographic trance.
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine trance in a positive sense where you're reaching or expanding towards higher states of consciousness, and trance in a sense where your consciousness is actually being diminished, where you're, yeah, you're basically being taken advantage of in this situation.
Yeah.
So I don't know all the things that are connected, but I do know as human beings, we appear very physical, but we're also very energetic. Mm-hmm. We're very spiritual. And there are things that are influencing us constantly. We know the movement of the planets around us, the solar system around us, the cosmos around us impacts us.
Yeah.
We know the vibration of the earth impacts us. But there's also non-physical beings in all different realms that are impacting us.
Yeah.
If you're a light worker, you probably work with some of these beings. You work with your spirit guides, your spirit team, your angels, your archangels.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what you could consider the light aspect of all of this.
Yeah.
In a realm of duality, which we currently live in, unfortunately, as much as many of us would like to move beyond it, we still live in a very dualistic reality where there's polarities. So there's lightness and there's dark.
Mm-hmm.
There's masculine, there's feminine. And from maybe like a biblical perspective, there's good and there's evil.
Okay, yeah.
So these beings fall on the quote-unquote evil, fear-based side of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And they're influencing us. But what we don't realize is that we are actually the ones that are giving them our power through our choices.
Uh-huh. Got it.
And we don't realize that because of our lifelong conditioning around our choices.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically with our sex energy. As soon as our hormones come online, and sometimes for some people even beforehand, we're introduced to a sexual reality that's not based upon our innocence, our original nature. That's not based upon the loving power that our sex energy is. It's not based upon educating us on the most profound creative force in the universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's actually the opposite. I'll pause there and see if there's anything for you.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, this is amazing. So let's break it down even further, because I know you have a whole book that's dedicated to really diving into this from the beginning, childhood, what happens. But if for someone that's just getting started to this conversation, what is sex energy? And then for a man, let's just speak specifically to men. A man was given this God, it's from God, from the divine, this sex energy, this power, this inherent power, and then it gets taken advantage of and taken from him. So now you have a grown man, you. How do you take your power back? How do you keep that power for yourself rather than giving it away to the darker energies through the various streams of media? Yeah.
Yes,
and if you don't want to talk to me, you can talk to them too.
Yeah, you asked me a couple of different questions there. So
cool.
What is sex energy? Sex energy is a creative energy. It is our creative energy. Like Mackenzie said, it was a gift and is a gift that's given to us by the divine to wield as we wish. Now we get to choose on what end of the spectrum we wield our sex energy. Do we wield it on the spectrum of fear?
Mm.
Do we wield it on the spectrum of love? Are we somewhere in between? Are some days we're in the fear paradigm, some days we're in the love paradigm? And I'll expand upon that further in a little bit. But it's synonymous with our kundalini energy, our prana, our life force. It's the difference between somebody that's alive and somebody that's dead. And somebody, you know, you might say that that's your spirit, but energetically, physically, that's your sex energy.
Mm.
On a very physical level, this energy gives us the ability to create new human life. So we take an inanimate object, we merge these two things together, a sperm and an egg, and voila, we create new human life. But what most people don't realize is that because this is such a creative energy, when we apply it to a non-physical level, we're always creating on a non-physical level. And this is the energy that's driving our creation. So when you merge together with someone in lovemaking, you're creating. Anytime you activate your sex energy, whether it's intentional or unintentional, you're creating.
Sure.
And we are bombarded from a very young age with conditioning that doesn't empower us around our sex energy. So I forget the second question that you asked.
Sorry.
What was it? Well, how can we take our power back, right?
Yeah. So tell them, like, you know, you mentioned these darker energies, which I feel and know as truth, but they have come in and latched onto human behaviors, human businesses. There's the dark web. There's the pornographic web.
Let me say something about that really quick. So these beings live, again, in a fear-based paradigm. They actually believe and think that they need human beings as an energy source.
Yeah,
now, that's not true for them as much as it's not true for us. As much as it's not true, like, we know now that we don't need oil from the earth in order to produce energy. There are other sources of energy. There's solar energy. There's wind energy. There's free energy.
Yeah.
So they, these dark beings, are convinced, based on their fear-based reality, that they need to feed off of human beings in order to survive.
Okay.
So something to get here is that they are not these all-powerful beings that have control over us. They are living in their own fear-based reality where, for them, if they don't get this energy from us, they're not going to survive.
Boom. I love that. Okay, that's really comforting. Like, to be reminded that it's not some all-knowing power that we can't take control. Like, we can't take our power back. We actually can. So that's really comforting. So then how do they attempt to siphon our energy? Now I'm actually using the word in the way I think you meant. Like, siphon, steal, take from. What are the different ways that on a daily basis these energies try to steal our life force, especially for a man, since it's so inherently accessible and vulnerable?
Yes, through manipulation. So first of all, all the cards are stacked against us in the realm, at least for our generation, in the realm of sexuality and sex in general. As soon as our hormones come online, at least this is the way it was for me, there's two things: a tremendous amount of curiosity and inspiration, really, and also a tremendous amount of fear. I grew up in a religious household where people didn't talk about sex openly. My parents didn't talk about sex openly. In fact, based on my religious conditioning, which is probably something everyone else can resonate with as well, I thought sex was a bad thing.
Right.
And so suddenly to feel my body being imbued with this new energy, this sexual energy, this desire to explore myself, what was there immediately was fear and shame that I was somehow wrong or bad for having this here in my physical body. So because of the fear that's there and the lack of openness with which we can basically just have a conversation about sex, our sex energy, sexual desire, all these things, as a little boy, a scared little boy, I resorted to pornography as a safe space. I thought that would be a safe space for me to explore sex on my own without the influence of other people, without needing to expose myself and be vulnerable and maybe have somebody make fun of me. I could go into this safe space called pornography, learn about sex, and then when I was ready, come out and be an expert, you know.
Yeah, sure.
But what you realize and what we know now about pornography, and that's just one example, right? There are many industries that are established on the manipulation of sex energy.
Right.
Pornography is only one of them. It's terrible at educating us on how to build a constructive relationship with our creative life force, with our sex energy. In fact, what pornography does is it teaches us to basically cough that up 24/7 around the clock, giving it to what looks like our computer screen and the people behind our computer screen, the women we're observing on our computer screen. But what's even behind that, What's behind the computer screen are the actual forces that we're talking about here. So when we plug into something, and I say plug in intentionally, when we plug into something like pornography, we're connecting our sex energy to that vehicle for siphoning.
Okay.
And that's just one vehicle for it. But then what happens along with that is our neurology, our brains, and our brain chemistry is still very much developing at that point in our life. So our brains are very neuroplastic at that point. And they're always neuroplastic, but when we're young, they get formed rather easily. They say neurons that fire together wire together. Well, these neurons in our brain, this chemistry, the dopamine drop that we get every time that we turn on our computer screens and view porn, is the positive loop, the positive feedback system that keeps us coming back for more. It builds an addictive cycle. So now not only have you gone in and offered your sexual energy to these quote-unquote dark beings that are siphoning it and using it as their own life force, but you're also addicted to this on a very physical level. You're getting a high from it. Now, it's one of the most addictive substances on the planet. Mm-hmm. We know that now. Mm-hmm. It's more addictive than cocaine.
Which it was set up like that. Like, that's what I think is interesting for people to hear. Like, not only is it addictive, but it was set up to be addictive. You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely, it was set up to be addictive because that's how this system thrives.
Mm.
So how you take your power back is you unplug. And I know I've gotten some blowback from this before. Like, oh, you can't just go cold turkey. You're not being compassionate towards men. There's a lot of people that are really addicted to this. And of course, I recognize that. I acknowledge that I was one of them. You know, I was three times a weeker. I was every dayer at some point because it became a means to receive this high, get this dopamine drop, other chemicals as well, not just dopamine. And then to have like a stress relief. I hear many men saying like, oh, it's just something I do. It's something harmless that I do to release stress.
Yeah.
And it's not harmless. It's not harmless for you and where your sex energy is going. It's not harmless in the terms of what that's empowering, who that's empowering. It's not harmless for the people that are involved, for the many people that are involved against their will or have been manipulated to participate in these kind of things.
Totally.
That have been involved in sex trafficking rings and they're there on their own survival, or they've been manipulated to the extent that they think that they're doing this for their own good. You know, there's just so much there that every time you're going in and plugging into that, you're receiving all that. And so...
And energizing it.
And energizing it. Totally. Totally. So we take our power back. Step one is unplugging.
Nice. Okay.
And it really is that simple. And I don't mean for that not to sound compassionate towards the men that are addicted to this, maybe women as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that is step one. If you don't do that, you don't stand a chance.
Wow. Yeah, because you know what I was even thinking? You were talking about the addiction. You were talking about the programming that it has from like as a young boy or a young person, that's the way that your brain now thinks about women, thinks about sex. But also on top of the fact that sex is so repressed in our society, that inherently creates distortion, period. You know, like if we're not owning our sex energy as good, pure, and divine, you're only going to be serving the distortion because it's going to become more and more and more warped, which we're obviously seeing in these pornographic sites. But you said about taking your power back, unplug.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that? You know, what did you have to unplug from? Like, what were the things that you had to strip right back in order for you to even have a chance to go through the purification? Because as your woman, I really saw you choose so powerfully. And I think that's why you can even stand so strong now.
Totally.
Because you went through a purification and you stuck to it.
That's the only reason.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's obviously worlds within worlds there.
Mm-hmm.
People want to feel powerful. Men want to feel powerful. But what you have is, and I'm not saying making a blanket statement about all men. I really don't feel like I'm the only one. I know there are other people, other men out there doing this work. But what you have is men coming forward with a false sense of power, or not even a false sense of power, just an inauthentic power. They're coming forth, they're leading podcasts, they're leading men's groups, they're in relationship, but then at the same time, there's, for some reason, this is where we let each other off in terms of pornography and sex, really. In the background, they're still plugging into porn, and if they're not watching porn, they're still plugging into pornographic-like realities, and that's what I want to talk about now, because this was molded into us at such a young age, this objectification, this dehumanization of women. And I'm obviously a heterosexual man, so that's what I'm speaking about, but you can apply it to other forms of relationships, to homosexual relationships and things of the like, right? That's the reality that gets constructed when we're young. So now when you expand outward from this pornographic reality, you can see it playing out in other forms. You can see it on social media. I say in my book that social media, Instagram, is the new porn. Why? Because you have all these people with this pornographic conditioning now going into one place together where it's all about imagery. It's all about looks. And I know, look, I know you get to say something nice in your post as well. And I'm not just talking about you, the listeners. I'm talking about everyone. There's also people who will post naked photos of themselves. You know, you see it all the time. And then you have these men who are conditioned to responding to naked women with an erection, with wanting to masturbate, with the dopamine drop. And that's happening now on Instagram, Facebook, other social media platforms. And so it's so normalized now that we don't even think there's an issue. But what's actually happening inside of these platforms is where men in particular are throwing their sex energy all over women.
Sure.
It's actual real energy. Like if I bring you into my mind, or if I look at a photo of you and I think sexual thoughts of you and I direct that kind of energy towards you, you're going to feel that. Now, whether you feel it consciously, unconsciously, that's going to depend on your sensitivity and how much work you've done. That's going to depend on how much purification you've done. But that's what we're doing all the time online.
Yeah.
So what I've done to take my power back is to step away from those platforms that have had my sex energy hooked my entire life, at least since my sex hormones came online.
Yeah.
And so to step away from pornography, I did go cold turkey, which honestly didn't feel like that hard of a thing for me. Because I had already been experiencing so much guilt from going online, masturbating, getting the high, ejaculating, getting the release, and then feeling horrible afterwards. Like, what the fuck am I even doing? Like, why do I do this? Why do I keep doing this? It doesn't feel good. It certainly feels good, like, while it's happening, but not, like, in a real sense, in a very superficial sense. And then once it's over, I feel horrible, worse than I did before.
Yeah.
But yet I can't stop this.
Yeah.
Or it feels like I can't. So the inspiration that I had was coming into union with you. Now, I had already had the desire to step away from these things.
Sure.
To take my power back. Mm-hmm. But coming into union with you, it was like I was starting a new relationship that I knew was going to be the most important relationship of my life. Mm-hmm. And I knew and told myself there's no fucking way that I'm bringing that bullshit into this kind of container.
Thank you, baby.
So that was the line in the sand for me. That was what I needed to unplug. And then further, and I'm not going to say that this is the reason that I got off Instagram, because in reality, it's not. It just bothers the hell out of me. But it's an opportunity to reconnect with the natural world.
Yeah.
There are synthetic realities like pornography, like Instagram, like Facebook, like Twitter, that we plug into that we think are real. And there may be elements of reality in there, but they're not real inherently of themselves. So plugging back into the natural world is where we remember how we are naturally before our conditioning. And so that's what I had to do.
Yeah.
And how I did that, how I went through my purification process was one, time, two, intention, three, plant medicines, working with really powerful plant medicines, ayahuasca, wachuma, mushrooms, cacao, sitting in cacao ceremony every single day, getting these new awarenesses, and literally letting my body and brain reset. Reset. You have to, like, when you fucking reset your computer and go back to the default settings, you have to do that as a human being, but we don't actually realize how imprisoned we are.
Sure.
So we think we're free. No, I don't have a problem. It's just something that I do in my free time. It feels good, whatever. It doesn't hurt anybody. But we're not. We're imprisoned to our conditioning. We're imprisoned to these fear-based beings that are feeding off of us. And until we take our power back by reconnecting with the natural world, we don't stand a chance. We have to go back to our factory settings, which our factory settings as human beings are our sexuality.
Yeah.
Our sex energy is an expression of our power and innocence. It's how we create our reality. And without the filter of our conditioning, we can create anything we want. It's how we create more love in the world.
Yeah. I'd love to cut in really quick to just share before you go there, because I know there's so much you can create when you actually take your power back, and that's where you are right now. So I'm honoring you.
Thank you.
I fucking so like honored and proud. So I wanted to speak to the shame piece before we go there, because from a woman's standpoint, I want like my brothers to know that we are not trying to shame anyone for tapping into this synthetic reality. What we're trying to reflect back to
you. You don't even have to. You're already feeling your own shame.
That's exactly what I was going to say. We're actually trying to reflect back to you grace to say, hey, we can see and feel the shame that you're holding because of this. And because you are so inherently loved and worthy and powerful, we're inviting you into releasing that shame for yourself so that you can actually feel A plus in the world. Because, you know, I actually, as a woman, feel and see it in my brother's eyes. I can feel shame. And I only can feel that because I know shame for myself. And I have my own shame. And as a woman, body shame and all of the things that I'm always going to be on a journey with. But when I look a man in the eyes, whether I know him or not, inherently as an awake, alive, sensitive woman, I can feel whether he has that shame still there from what's happening behind closed doors. And that breaks my heart, because when I'm seeing my brother or when I'm seeing another man, I'm actually seeing pure innocence and love and brilliance and power. And just so much beauty in a way. So it breaks my heart, because I'm like, we don't need to be giving you don't need to be giving your power away. So whereas one more thing you mentioned, I know that on social media, there are light workers that obviously post, you know, that goddess, like unapologetic, I'm naked now kind of post, and that it is inherently innocent. So let's just address really quickly, not that, but the actual synthetic distortion that exists on social media when it comes to imagery. When Michael says returning to nature, he also is referencing returning to what a woman's body actually is. Returning to the natural woman, and obviously they have all different shapes and forms, and we all have different expressions. But when you go onto the pornographic sites, or you are following people on Instagram that are anything but the natural world, you are continuously distorting what you think a woman should look like. You're distorting what is going to actually turn you on in the bedroom. And you're inherently not making, from personal experience, women feel safe or seen. And so when Michael chose to unplug from that, like unfollow, unplug from that site, whatever, I felt permission to actually soften and surrender and open and tune into my sensuality in a deeper way because he gave me that container of safety. You know what I mean? 100%. I just wanted to share that from a woman's perspective.
100%.
Okay.
Yeah, and that is the gift you get to give to someone, in this case you, when you're in union. It's a two-way street. It doesn't just benefit me. It benefits you, and for it benefits our union, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And many men haven't had the privilege of receiving the inspiration that I've had the privilege of receiving from you and in you. And so I used to let people off as that being a valid excuse or saying, oh, once they meet their beloved, then they'll get it. And I don't think that that's inherently true. And I sure as hell don't think that we have to wait to unplug, to come back to a natural reality, to honor our feminine counterparts, whether they're our beloved, whether they're our sisters, whether they're our own family members. And that's why I had to write a whole fucking book about this, because there are so many layers and levels that gone into us. What men think, and women now, is sexy and attractive from a cultural perspective, from a societal perspective, is actually what was determined and dictated to us by men of a patriarchal culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
not even real.
It's so not real. It's so distorted from that repressed. Again, the more we repress our sexual energy, the more distorted it's going to become.
Exactly. And why would anyone want to repress someone's sex energy? Because it's their source of power.
Yeah.
It's our energy source. And therefore our source of liberation for ourselves. If you can manipulate a man and encourage a thwarted relationship with his sex energy, one where he's confused, he's disempowered, he feels trapped, he is addicted to substances, in this case, pornography and things like it, you can totally disempower him.
Yeah.
He's no longer a sovereign, free-thinking man capable of standing in his power, in his ground, against those who would wish to control him.
Totally. Yeah, I feel that.
And that's what we have on a global scale. So take your power back is more than just getting off of these things. It's seeing what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, right.
It's seeing that there are forces that want you to be small. And you're saying, yes, keep me small. I like this reality better. I don't want to wake up. I don't want to be responsible for this. I don't want to come into my power. Now, when I say that, you might think to yourself, that's not true, Michael. I do want to come into my power. And I know you actually do on a soul level. But it does not happen without discipline. It does not happen without choice. It does not happen without you, who's ever listening, buying into this as a life and death situation, in the terms of, if you're not fully alive, then you're dead.
Whoa.
You know, this is a fight for your life. Your real life, at least.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Your real freedom. So we have the fight for freedom externally, which we can buy into rather easily. But this is a fight for freedom internally. And what does freedom give us? The ability to actually do good in the world. That's why we're here. Most men want to do good in the world, but they don't realize how much the leaking of their sex energy is keeping them from that. Sure. They haven't made the connection yet.
No, right. The connection. Yeah, that makes so much sense. The connection to their service, the money, like everything is going to come when you take that power back, huh?
And I want to say there's the part of us that's been taken advantage of the most is, yes, our innocence, which I've talked about that at length in other podcasts, and I talk about it at length in my book. But the part of us that loves, honors, and respects the feminine, that is inherent in each one of us. And that is what gets manipulated the most. So now we can't actually have an authentic relationship with women where we're just loving them.
Totally.
We're just loving them as our sisters.
Yeah.
Without sexualizing them in some way.
For sure.
And that energy is felt by women all over the world. I know that.
Totally.
I know that. But I'm telling you, we can get there. Our truest expression as men is to love, honor, respect, serve, and protect the feminine. That's what actually fills our heart.
So true.
That's what actually brings us fulfillment in life. But we're inhibiting ourselves by doing that, by continuing to plug into these systems that keep us small and siphon our sex energy.
Yeah. Oh my God. This is so amazing. I'm so happy we're talking about this because it's going to be a one human at a time kind of thing.
Totally.
Like this is an inside job.
It's not until you wake up from it. Like literally, I didn't know how much power I was losing.
Yeah.
Until I stepped away from it. And then just naturally, I came back to myself. Now, I did things that helped, right? I put myself in situations where I could heal. But I didn't even know. And most men don't even know. It's like, how do you show someone what you could potentially have access to that requires very little on our behalf? It actually requires very little. You stop plugging in and you go outside.
Yeah, I was just going to say, let's talk about some real tips. And I love that you said you didn't realize how much power you were losing, because that's the visual I get. It's like leak, 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 like all these little leaks. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the first step, like looking everywhere. And I do this for myself. And I think I've shared on a podcast before my own relationship to pornography and how I had to cut that out. And that wasn't like, even as a woman, inherently easy. Mm-hmm. But now I still look at where is my energy leaking, not just my sex energy, but all my energy. So social media, little things that just, you know, suck the energy dry. And I'm like, wait, I shouldn't be leaking my energy out to those places. And I always have to reconnect. But I think for this specifically, for a man to kind of start from a clean slate, he has to be looking at where is any possibility of my, are there little leaks and holes in my energetic field?
You got to be radically fucking honest with yourself.
And honest with yourself, that's a really good one. So what about, I was actually wondering, because I know you did this work when we were in union. So like looking each other in eyes inherently is your accountability.
Totally.
So for someone that doesn't have that, but however, I'm imagining even if you don't have a beloved, when you do step into union, I'm sure you'd rather say, yeah, I've cleaned that up. That's over. Like that's already clean for me. Wouldn't you rather say that rather than like, oh, now that you're here, let's clean up these leaks and let's, you know, and then that's what's really funny to me is when a man thinks that a woman is projecting on him over and over and over again, but really she's feeling how much power he's giving away to these energies, which is maybe a whole other podcast. Mm-hmm. So for you, if you didn't have a beloved and you didn't have that eye to eye accountability, what would you recommend that they like ask for help, lean on accountability? Like what could be supportive for someone that wants to go on this journey, but that does return home alone every night?
Yeah. Well, I think the greatest perpetuator of this whole situation is silence. And that's the power that shame up until now has had over us. So by now, at this point in our life, I'm 31. Oops, just had a birthday. I'm 31, you're 32.
Yeah.
We have both had experiences in our life regarding sex that we were shameful about.
For sure.
That we felt shame about. I have had those experiences in my past. And I feel like that's where you have to start. You have to go back to go forward. You have to reclaim a sense of innocence around all of this. Mm. And so in terms of accountability, you need to be able to voice it to someone in a someone you trust, someone you love, someone that you know can hold a safe container. You can't do this work alone. Now, again, in terms of accountability, there are other forces that you can be accountable to other than yourself and other than another person. And those are the medicines, these deities, these plant deities. You can be responsible and accountable to them. Mm-hmm. And you can also be responsible and accountable to your own soul, to spiritual forces, to whatever guides and spiritual beings that you know are with you. But I feel like the biggest piece, honestly, is to overcome the shame. Mm. And you do that by voicing it. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Sharing with like other brothers or giving them a call and being like, yo, this is what I'm going through.
Yes.
Can you hold me accountable?
Yeah, I just need to tell this to someone.
Yeah.
I just need to share this with someone. It's literally like the weight that I've been carrying my whole life.
Mm. Yeah.
And I know you and I have had those experiences. And totally. Again, we have a union that's a safe container, a safe space for us to share anything.
Right.
But you can create that. Men can create that with other men. They can create it with other women. They can create it with facilitators. Mm-hmm. They can create it with someone that you're paying.
Yeah. That's true.
To hold space for you. Like, that's how, quote unquote, seriously you have to take this. For that sure. You're willing to invest in a space where you can then overcome your shame by sharing it with someone. Even just paying someone to listen.
Totally.
And being met with compassion and understanding.
That's so funny because people, like, we all invest in, like, business coaches and marketing advice and all these different things for business and how to make money. Like, everyone invests in that. But what I would love to see is for men to start investing in their growth in this area. Women to be investing in their growth in this area. This area is everything, right?
I'll be honest. Nobody is calling me. Nobody is There's one person that's emailed me in maybe the last 3 months.
Wow.
About working with me on this.
Okay.
And I don't mean to put more shame onto people. That's
right.
What I'm saying. Shame on you for not
just
reaching out to me.
Pointing out the shame in a way.
I'm pointing out the reality, which the shame keeps people from even seeking help.
Yes.
In this area.
Wow.
That's how heavy it is. That's how deep it goes. Mm-hmm.
That makes so much sense.
Well, I'm saying, hey, I'm here. I'll listen. I'm not going to judge you. I'll hear everything you have to share. You can totally let the weight of the world that you've been carrying around your whole life off your chest. Start with a clean slate.
Yeah.
And people are saying, no, that's too scary.
Do you want to know why I think they, like, that happens, as I'm just reflecting, is yes, the shame, and also you are no bullshit. Like, you're going to hold them accountable.
For sure.
And then it's like, what's the upper limit to my integrity?
For sure.
You're like a such, but see, the thing is how that translates to your relationship in our community with all of the women in your life.
Mm-hmm.
They literally look you in the eyes and they're like, I'm so safe right now. They can feel it.
Totally.
And that is a gift, right?
Yeah.
That's going to make me cry because it's a gift to all of us. Mm-hmm. So when you unplug from these different places of, like, where your energy can leak, I feel that, like, what starts happening then? Because I think it's very much an addiction to even have the release itself. Mm-hmm. It's not just the imagery. It's the release, right? So it's like you can still go and release, but I think what needs to happen is a clearing of the energy, like a fuller bodied experience. But if you continue to release from the lower chakras and in service to this old programming, you're not giving yourself a chance for it to move into your heart and to be in full breath. And so, like, what do you recommend in terms of masturbation and releasing your sex energy or exploring your sex energy in a way that's going to allow you to reprogram yourself? Because for me, I actually had to stop masturbating because for a while, because my mind was playing its own movie.
Exactly.
And it was still very challenging for me to not go to that movie.
For sure.
Even though my intention was to not. It still goes there when you're in the intensity of the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The imagery is inside of you now. It's inside of us now.
Yeah.
And so, like you said before, we have to go through a purification process. And what I teach people to do is to do a lingam massage, and that's to basically sit with themselves, to apply oil to their penis, to massage themselves hard, and on a sliding scale of pleasure where 0 is completely flaccid, 10 is ejaculating, hold themselves at a 7 or an 8, where you're experiencing your sex energy, you're tapping into your sex energy, you're feeling it in your body, but then you're also in the observer role, witnessing how your mind sexualizes that energy. So you're actually, maybe for the first time in your life, witnessing all the programming as it just runs. When you're not in front of your computer, when you're not on your phone, when you're not even around other women, you're just witnessing how your mind is just going with all the programming it's been given. And so that's a really come to Jesus moment. And then I like to request, invite is probably a better word, that men don't ejaculate, at least not initially during these practices, because there's an addiction to that as well.
Yeah.
There's an addiction to an end goal of release that then I'm going to feel better, I'm going to relieve stress, yada, yada, yada. So that's just one practice, right? But you can purify your life in so many different ways. It doesn't even have to be sexual to make a difference in this area. You can eat better. You can drink clean water. You can make sure you're getting exercise. You can make sure you're spending enough time in nature every single day with your feet on the ground. All of those things are going to start to rewire your nervous system. And that's where all of this is connected to. It's connected to our nervous systems. So you can purify yourself in so many ways. And then purify yourself further by just taking time away from technology.
Yeah.
And stay in the observer role. Witness yourself in all the situations that you go into in your life. When you go out to the grocery store, are you this hyper-stimulated man whose only focus is all the women that are around you? Where literally you're just bobbing from one woman to the next. Like... It's if you could see my face right now, that's really what it's like when you're stuck in it.
Yeah.
You're just like,
I know.
And again, you guys can't see me for those of you listening, but it's like,
and they try to hide it, but it's not, you can't hide it.
You can't hide it. You can't hide it energetically. You can't even hide it from a observation perspective, you know? So witness yourself doing these things and then ask yourself why, or just realize like, damn, I can't even focus on what groceries I came to buy. You know, I can't even drive. I mean, driving is such an unconscious thing, but the way that I'm looking at women and viewing them as sex objects and deciding right away whether or not I would have sex with them, and basically like getting micro stimulations of the stimulation that you get at micro drops of dopamine, micro drops of serotonin all day long just to keep you high, just to keep you going.
Yeah.
But it's one big giant distraction from what we're actually here for. And like we said already, it's meant to be.
Sure.
So is there anything else that you want to say about purification?
Well, I'd reflect back to you letting everyone listen that, like, when you went through this purification for yourself, what I noticed was you were doing a lot of breath work at the time, and you were very conscious about moving the energy, because it really, when you got 30 years of just sacral chakra stimulation, sacral chakra release,
right.
It is stuck. Lower chakras only. But when you can actually bring it up, that's where your power comes online. So I noticed that in you.
Totally.
That you were really focused on moving the energy through your breath, through creating, through physical exercise, and through our lovemaking sessions. And I noticed then there was one point where you just, because it was like you had released. And I know the medicines helped you.
Tremendously.
But I mean, really.
That's something that's hard to convey, because obviously there was so much that I learned and gained from those ceremonies that I could never do justice with words.
You do justice with your integration and with your embodiment. Because it's like then you, she like stripped you from shame. Of your past. You know, you had already claimed for yourself, like, I'm unhooking. Like, I'm coming back to myself. But there was still the shame there. And you let that go. When you let that go, you stepped into, like, a force of fucking nature. It was intimidating, I remember.
Inviting, right? Inviting us deeper.
It was inviting us deeper in our union. And it was so hot. And it is so hot. Because that's where you stand now. Yeah. And it's like, but that is where your power is. And it's... So I wanted to reflect back to, like, going through that purification is super hot and super sexy. And also, so it's not like just, oh, a safe and cuddly space. No, like, the masculine in his power is, it calls us forward. And that is what we actually do desire as well. I just wanted to reflect that back.
Well, you pointed to something really important, and that's the very practical things that we can do.
Yes, okay.
To work with this energy. So I mentioned Linga massage already, but breath is such a powerful means to work with our sex energy.
Yeah.
So you can become aware of your breath at any moment. You know if your breath is shallow, you know if it's super short and fast, you know if it's relaxed and in your belly. We can also bring in intention with breath work or just with breathing in general. So you don't even have to do anything extreme. You can just set the intention to experience your sex energy. Sit with an erect spine. Straighten your spine, because that's how this energy moves through our body.
Oh, yeah.
When our spine is erect, you're giving permission for your sex energy to flow. Sit with an erect spine. Set the intention to experience and circulate your sex energy. Bring it up into those higher chakras, like Mackenzie said, and just breathe. Nice, deep, relaxing breaths as you're inviting this energy upward. It's your body. You have control. Your body will respond to your commands. It will happen. And then if you want to take it a step further, you can do breath of fire or other breath exercises that will help to stimulate or to open that particular center. Yeah. And to expand upon your sex energy, to open your sex energy and make it grow, basically, for then you to feel and circulate intentionally. And I'm telling you, it's a life-altering experience when this energy hits your heart. Because you realize that everything you thought that sex was about is actually not what sex is about. This energy is one of the most empowering forces for unconditional love that this world has yet and ever will see. And when men wake up to that, like I have, there will be nothing that stops you from channeling your sex energy that way in service to love. And you mentioned about women feeling safe with me. That's exactly, it's not an absence of my sex energy.
No.
It's a full presence of my sex energy in what it was really meant for, going towards what it was really meant to serve, and that's love. And that's when you connect these two centers. And that's what Maui has helped me do. That's what these medicines have helped me do. I've sat in many medicine ceremonies where ayahuasca would trigger and circulate my sex energy so much so that it was uncomfortable. I was like, oh God, you know, immediately all the judgments were there. People are going to think I'm this like sexual maniac. I can't sit in ceremony and not have a sexual experience. It's like, oh God, this is so overwhelming. Am I going to ejaculate? Like, what's going to happen? It feels so out of control and therefore triggers so much fear. But as soon as she was teaching me to surrender into it, because as soon as I let go or started to let go of my conditioning and my fear around this, which it is so powerful, and that's why we fear it, just like we fear women in relationships because they are so powerful. It is so powerful. That's why we feel it. But when we surrender into it, that's when I started to feel its real power. That's when I started to feel like, oh my, this is ecstasy. This is love. This is pleasure to the highest degree, and this is my birthright. It's not some sexual, sadistic thing. It's literally my body being ignited with life. I'm receiving life through love.
Wow.
And so it was incredibly uncomfortable. I obviously got over it. And those are experiences that, again, I could never really do justice with words because they were basically forced upon me. Obviously, I put myself in that situation. That wasn't necessarily my intention going into that ceremony.
Right.
But coming out, I really got that my sex energy is not what I ever thought it was. She forced me to receive it.
Right.
And in receiving it, I actually experienced it for what it really is. I'll stop there.
And then you realized why I got so scared of it at first.
Right.
But that's what I love. What I'm getting is that she, nature, essentially.
Nature. That's a great way to put it.
Helped you realize that this energy comes from inside of you. Mm-hmm. And it's for you.
Totally.
It is your power. So it doesn't come from external stimulation. And it's not meant to go to anything else other than in service to your heart.
It's already always present within you.
Yeah.
It's a part of you.
Yeah.
It's your gift.
And so now, is it challenging for you? You and I have talked about the observer because we're still human. So, of course, we still see people and see attractive people. And, you know, we live in Hawaii and we love going to Australia where basically, like, girls wear nothing. So it's like we see it, but you taught me how to be, like, the observer of it.
Yeah.
And just to love that part of myself without judging it. Mm-hmm. And then, but so tell them about that because we only have a couple more minutes.
Yeah.
But how does it feel now? Does it feel really challenging when that comes up for you? Is it more just like observe it, but it's not like what it used to be?
It's like nothing sticks. So it's here and gone.
Okay, cool.
You get to see like, and I was again shown this in one of the ceremonies that I sat in. There's a parasitic mind that we all have.
Yeah.
That basically has got all these thwarted realities and is playing them out anytime we give attention to it. Now, the pitfall that we fall into is when that comes on and our mind says something about someone else, ooh, yummy, ooh, whatever, I would have sex with that person, that we then judge ourselves.
Yeah, for sure.
And now all of a sudden we're interacting with that parasitic mind that's not even us, honestly. It's something separate from us.
That makes sense.
It's just something that's in our human auric field. It's in our mental space that we're purging, releasing, basically like petting like you would a pet that, you know, like that little critter that came into our house and it was screeching at us, right? And it was so small, it could have never hurt either one of us, but its screech was so loud. It was like, ha! It struck fear in us. This parasitic mind is the same thing. We have a simple thought, and all of a sudden it debilitates us.
That's the darkness.
Because we respond to it with fear, and the darkness wants us to respond to it with fear, because when we go into a fear-based response, a fight, flight, or fear, freeze, response, we're no longer in our power.
Right.
We've come out of our centeredness. So, no, to answer your question, it's not hard. It's actually really easy.
Okay,
it just
cool.
comes and it goes. And in fact, the longer I've gone practicing what I'm practicing, the less it even shows up to begin with. And so it's not hard at all. And in fact, the greatest gift is being, I am in a place now where honestly, I feel like everyone in the world could be naked. All the time, in public, at work, at the beach, wherever. And I would have no issue with it. Because, again, I come down hard on people sometimes who like post naked photos of themselves because I know the energy that's being directed
You're
towards
protective
them.
You're protective of them.
And I want them to,
You're protecting
to
them.
Be aware of that, right?
Yeah.
So I know I can sound like a jerk sometimes. But the reality that I'm dreaming of that really is already in existence for me is that where people can literally walk naked wherever they want to and not have to deal with someone putting their sex energy on to them. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean we don't witness or notice when someone's beautiful.
Totally.
We celebrate beauty just as much as we celebrate color, just as much as we celebrate sex, male, female, and anything in between, right?
Yeah,
it's a celebration of what's natural. And I think that's the thing I've noticed the most. When I see women, I can tell almost immediately where they're at on their journey.
Yeah,
just by looking at them. And it's never been more apparent, these two realities to me, what's natural and what's synthetic. I can recognize that right away. And actually, I love and appreciate more the naturalness. I want to celebrate and nourish and lift the naturalness, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, that is so good. I think we should end on that, even though I want to go. We're just going to record another one later.
Totally.
But to celebrate the naturalness, that really got me. So I'd love to end on that and put that out in the world.
Yeah. Cool. And let's give what's natural center stage.
Oh, thank you.
Right? Let's post about that, share about that, spread that in the news.
Look to
the goodness of human beings, right?
Totally.
The beauty of human beings. Mm. That's our inherent naturalness.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love you so much.
I love you too. Thanks so much for being on this episode.
You're amazing.
Welcome back.
Yay.
Yeah.
We're going to be here more often.
Yeah.
So. And we actually really mean that because we have a lot to say now. Before, we were like, we don't have anything coming through right now. So now we do. Thanks for listening. Anything else?
Well, I just, as always with anything, we're not here to force our opinions or perspectives on anyone.
Yeah, we are. What are you talking about?
We just want just to invite people into something.
Yeah.
So I hope that's what you take away from this, is that you're being invited in. You know, the people that you think about when you listen to this podcast, we're all inviting each other into something greater.
Yeah.
And, you know, take what you will, leave the rest, but really try it on. Mm. Really try it on. We're not experts by any means. We're two human beings having a very human experience, and we just want to share that. And
yeah.
We want, you know, we want what we've experienced to have an impact, to make a difference.
We're just so passionate. Like,
right.
We're so passionate. We know that this makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
We know. Well, for me, I feel like it's the most important thing.
Yeah.
To talk about, to address. And so I'm really honored to be of service to this.
Totally.
And to be with a partner who's literally here to be in service to this.
And just last thing, like, what? I love you so much.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to not acknowledge
No,
it.
It's That's, great. It's I, great.
That is one of life's greatest celebrations for me,
yeah.
Is to be able to do this with you and to get to celebrate this together,
Aww.
Get to experience this, not only in our private lives together, but also bring it forward into our public lives.
Totally.
Last thing is just notice what any of this has brought up for you. If you're a man and you're listening and you've still got these things going on in the closet, you know, you still got skeletons in your closet, just notice what it brings up for you, the discomfort. If you're a woman and you've got anything playing out from your own life experience, anything that's still in your closet, anything that you're tolerating, allowing in your relationship, even though you're desiring something more, desiring something better, just notice what it brings up for you and go there.
Yeah. You're amazing.
All right. We love you guys. We'll see you next time.
Love you.